Let's call meeting order. All please rise. Join me in the salute to our flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America
and to the republic
for which it stands,
one nation,
under God,
indivisible,
with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, our clerk will now take the roll call.
Councilmember Watson.
Yes.
Councilmember Hansen.
Here.
Councilmember Olson.
Here.
Councilmember Ingram.
Here.
Councilmember Mutchler.
Here.
Councilmember Birch.
Here.
Okay, and obviously Councilperson Goodrich is still on his excused absence, so we'll move forward to the public comment period. This is the period where the audience can come speak to the council if anything's not on tonight's agenda. So if it's not on agenda, you can address the council on anything you'd like. We give extra points to anybody who are grandchildren of council members. Oh, wait a minute, we have one. Okay, would you like to come over and speak? You get extra points. I think Grandma said something about extra cookies or something. Okay, well, any takers from the audience then? Yes, sir, could you come forward, please? Welcome. We've never heard from you ever again.
I'm still Papa John, 6072 Malloy Avenue, still the same place. And I have, as usual, some food for thought preceded by what hopefully is some kind of dessert. So you get the dessert first before you get the other full meal deal. There seems like this grandpa was sympathizing with his granddaughter about the fact she had her dog just died. So he was telling her that, well, you know, hopefully the dog is probably in heaven, and just think how great that would be. And the granddaughter looks at the grandfather and says, why would God want a dead dog? So much for consoling the kid. You know what the worst part about sitting in traffic is? Getting run over. Remember that. Now, this is a combination of holiday-related questions. Here's Halloween and Christmas combined. What would you call whenever you cross a vampire and a snowman? And the answer is frostbite. So see, that's kind of like Halloween and Christmas. Yeah. Okay. You know. Now there's also a Thanksgiving one, because I don't want to leave that out. You know why turkeys gobble? And the answer is because they've never been taught proper manners. Ta-dum. Okay. Now this is a combination of humorous, but really could be profound if you think about it. When walking through life, whatever your goal, keep your eye on the donut and not on the hole. Okay. Now, if you think about it, it does have some, no profanity. Now, it's meant to be profound now. Now, this is meant to be food for thought. An ounce of love is worth a pound of knowledge. John Wesley said that. An ounce of love is worth a pound of knowledge. Here is kind of specifically one person you can figure out what it might be that might profit from this. A keen sense of humor, of course that may eliminate me, helps us to overlook, this is from Billy Graham, overlook the unbecoming, understand the unconventional, tolerate the unpleasant, overcome the unexpected, and outlast the unbearable. Now there might be somebody in the room here that might profit from that, but I won't say who. Now, this is another general kind of thought for you to consider if you are a mayor or want to be one, maybe. And outlook and attitude help shape action and outcome. Okay? Outlook and attitude help shape action and outcome. I'll be here next time.
Thank you, sir.
I'll be here all week, but it just seemed like I won't be here, but it just seemed like I'll be here all week.
Thank you. Anyone else from the audience would like to follow that performance and speak for the council? Going once, going twice? No grandchildren want to come forward. Too bad for you. Grandpa's probably disappointed. Okay, it's 6:04:28. We're going to close the regular council meeting and go into the Transportation Benefit District Board meeting. And before you is the TBD Consent Agenda. Councilperson Hansen.
I move that we pass the TBD consent agenda.
Sorry.
Okay, moved by Councilperson Hansen, seconded by Councilperson Ingram. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries 6-0. Okay, so at 6:04:59, We will close the TBD and go to the regular consent agenda, and we're pulling one item. We're going to pull the discussion of the applications for the CCAB. So we'll pull that from the consent agenda, and we'll put it down right after the discussion of personal policy. So we'll do CCAB after item 9.
Move to approve this consent agenda.
And you're leaving the Arts Commission appointment in?
I was told that I could pull that.
You're pulling that or
no, I'm leaving the Arts Commission.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, so we're just pulling CCAB. Okay, so it's been moved by Councilperson Ingram, and who is the second? Okay, we'll go the second to Councilperson Birch. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Motion carries 6-0. CCAB moved to 9B. Okay, so next we're up the public hearing on the 2016 preliminary budget.
I have it there. No.
Correct. We have no one signed up. So I'll go to our finance director.
Do you need to do a little about the public hearing? What does it mean?
Are you going to explain anything? Staff typically will have a staff explanation and then go to public hearing. But
oh, very good.
You have no staff explanation?
I do have a brief staff explanation on the 2016 draft budget. Good evening. Available, there are three extra copies here in paper tonight for the public. Council has their paper copies. Also sent you an email today with Excel file and one Word file. 2016, looking forward, bring us some challenges. Thank goodness we see a constant kind of slow recovery economy-wise. Sales tax, and especially solid waste tax, is coming along nicely. Actually, the graph we put out today on solid waste tax, and that's the two solid waste transfer stations on Slater Road. Currently, our current rate is 12.5% of the gross receipts. And that really funds a lot of different good things here for the city, not only debt service on general obligation bonds, but a variety of staff positions. Solid waste is up almost 15% year over year, which is really impressive. So, as you know, we dropped in the whole county. A lot of construction going on, a lot of multifamily going on in the county, and in spite of efforts to recycle on site, the garbage trucks keep rolling. Plus, you got a general population growth, probably 2 to 3% per year. So all those folks produce garbage, and I guess we're the garbage capital of the county. We don't have any new car dealerships. We don't have any big box stores, but we have garbage transfer stations. One of the features each year that we go through is our expenditure decision cards. That is anything new. We assume that currently authorized staff levels and other expenditures will continue into the future. So anything new, we ask our department heads to submit through the executives, city administrator, and the mayor, anything new and proposals and how we would pay for those things. So you'll see on a long sheet here, about the fourth page in, the first long sheet, list all those decision cards. We're cutting this off. Nothing new after tonight. You need to focus on what we have here. So there are actually three additional full-time positions on this decision card, two of which are funded primarily from water, sewer, storm revenues, which, by the way, water, sewer, storm city revenues are in good shape. Funds are in good shape in terms of coverage for our debts, our debt service coverage ratios are well above the required per ordinances, well above our cash balance reserves goals. So this is the process we go through. Now, we also, one of the other features here is we have to decide whether the council wants to increase or not property tax. As you know, Initiative 747 several years ago limits the growth to 1% a year. That excludes any bank capacity the city has not used in the past. we have a moderate amount of bank capacity, almost $60,000 if one was to do that. And we're allowed the 1% growth per year in property tax unless inflation runs less than 1%. Well, sure enough, wouldn't you know, again, second time in the last few years, the implicit price deflator that the Feds put out every September came in at about 0.25% increase. So that's our limit unless council decides to adopt the proposed ordinance tonight declaring a need for the full 1%. And our basic reason is that our wages and health care benefits, insurance has gone up about 3% each. It's pretty tough to cover with less than 1% property tax. So even though the Feds say the implicit price deflator went up less than 1% locally for our costs, per labor contracts, we're 3% next year. We have a pretty good handle on what the insurance, health insurance rates are going to be. They average about 3% higher. Now, we have made substantial changes to our health care benefits for most of our folks, and those contracts are all settled. And frankly, a great savings to the city on health care. $80,000 alone on the police budget for health care. So those are some of the things that are happening for next year. We do need to decide on the property tax increase this month or not, and we need to hold our public hearings like we're doing tonight and hopefully adopt the operating budget in the first meeting in December, although we could go the second week in December for the operating budget. A lot of these decision cards, I've run the exercise of putting those costs in the spreadsheets that you have tonight, but it depends on the solid waste tax increase. And we can talk about that more perhaps later on tonight. So that's all the introductory comments I have for the public hearing.
So, Council, technical questions of staff. This is a public hearing, so opinions or statements would come later after the public hearing portion. So technical questions of staff only at this time. Councilperson Watson?
Is the Public Works list of equipment, is that in the budget now? All the debt service to pay
for it? It is.
Okay.
Right. And that's about $60,000 a year debt service, but most of that's borne by the financially healthy water, sewer, storm utilities.
Any other technical questions of staff from council? Okay, seeing none, we'll move forward to the public hearing part. We have no one signed up, but there's still a chance to speak if you'd like to. A public hearing is a formal opportunity to give testimony to the council for consideration in the decision-making process. Written comments may also be submitted to the city clerk prior to the beginning of the hearing. When the mayor calls your name, proceed as follows. Audience members who have signed up prior to the beginning of the hearing will be called as first. We didn't have anybody. So if you're unable to sign up before the meeting, you'll be given an opportunity to address the council once we've got through all the speakers. So anyone that raises their hand, we're going to let you speak. Each speaker should state his or her name, address the record, and will be given 3 minutes to address the council. When a large group of individuals supports the same position on an issue, we encourage the selection of one or two representatives to speak on behalf of the entire group. So this is the chance for the public to speak about one of our public hearings in terms of our budget. So we'd love to hear from citizens. Anyone? 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 All looking excited. You're looking at me like you're ready to jump forward. Okay. So we'll move. We'll close the public hearing. We open and close the public hearing at 6:13:52. And we'll go to council for discussions or questions or anything you'd like to speak about the budget.
Okay.
Councilperson Watson.
Are we amenable to starting to go through the decision terms? I'd like to try and get through as many of these as we can so Mark can start building the final budget.
Do you want to just go have Mark start with one and do what we've done before is we kind of get like a nod or a general consensus, no. Typically, we don't throw things, but okay. So let's start with a decision card, and then we'll go through until we think we're in turning it. Yes, Councilperson Ingram.
In the interest of being lean, I would move that we approve the decision cards as they are presented.
Wow, Santa Claus is in the building.
Yeah, overall.
Do I have a second for advancement of this? Without a second.
I'll second it for a discussion.
Is it just okay. Kind of an up and down vote.
Okay, so this would be a blanket approval of the decision cards as they are. Now, we're open for discussion. Councilperson Watson.
Okay, now that we have an official motion to do all of them, we would have to make amendments to pull off the ones we don't want, correct?
Correct. Do you still have the floor, or is that?
No, that's just...
Okay, I'll move on to the other person. The hand up, Councilperson Mutchler.
Yeah, I'd like to kind of get around the the NGOs, the non-governmental nonprofits. I just want to remind council that we have a resolution that requires certain procedures for us to fund these things, and we're not going to do that this year because, in part, we didn't plan ahead, and I'm fine with that. But I think it would be proper to make a motion, I guess it would be an amendment to the main motion, that we're going to overturn, since we're going to suspend Resolution 12904, which says the following: the qualifying group shall apply for one-year grants at a time. They're good for 1 year. They should be, each of these nonprofits shall be voted on separately by council. There should be a memorandum of understanding. We're not going to do that this year. I don't think anybody's asking to do that, but I believe it would be proper for us to suspend this resolution, which is in effect. So I'd like to make...
Sorry, point of information. The council directed last meeting that I put out the call to the nonprofits. I distributed the for solicitations for next year to provide that information. Yeah. I emailed the collective group that we have, and I've been in communication. Nobody's turned in any paperwork yet.
So we don't have any applications. So following through on that, we technically don't have any reason to include them, although I suspect they expect that we're going to.
There will be some very unhappy people.
And I think part of it is that us as a city, what you did, we probably should have done a few months ago. And I'm saying, let's take responsibility for that. Let's fund these things, but in process of funding them, I think we need to deal with the resolution and vote to suspend the resolution this year. And I do that for efficiency's sake, but I also do that to honor the resolution so it still remains in effect and not just a warning.
Are you, point of clarification here, are you tacking that onto the current motion, or is that something that, because that would be a separate procedural?
So, well, if I'm hearing his motion, he's clarifying that, yeah, he is. It's an amendment to this that says we may approve, because the first motion is we're approving everything that's on there, and he's saying, yes, we will approve it.
Because if we go ahead and the course that we set forth now, we're violation of resolution. And I say, let's set that aside so we can go ahead and not violate it.
And I would second that because I believe what he's saying.
Okay, we have a second, so we're discussing just the amendment that Councilperson Mutchell has put on. Councilperson Hansen?
Well, I don't know that we need to, because we suspended that resolution a year ago.
We voted to suspend it for that.
For last year.
We voted to suspend it.
For that year.
No. We voted to suspend it.
I'd like to see the minutes on that. I don't believe that was the case.
But the point is that how long do these resolutions last? And are they binding?
Okay, let's...
They're a resolution. They therefore are not binding. So we probably violate resolutions that were passed 20 years ago all the time. We just aren't aware of them. I'm questioning whether or not a resolution continues on and on and on. We suspended last year whether it was for 1 year only or whether it was...
So, clarification from staff? Anyone?
Roberts, rules?
I would have to see the resolution.
Yeah, I just wonder why we would pass the resolution in the first place that deals with kind issues.
It's a year. My understanding when that resolution passed, it was for last year, that it was not a continuing resolution forever.
I think if you read it, it would give the impression of it.
So
I'm going to support your motion, but I'm going to add an amendment to it.
In the interest of clarity, we could vote on John's, and then we've solved either, we solved the problem.
I'm trying to get
even if there was a question, in the interest of clarity. Councilperson Hansen, you had another comment?
Well, I was going to move that we insert the words into the motion as an amendment to the amendment to suspend the resolution permanently.
Okay, do we have a second on that? Okay, that motion dies. Okay, we're back on Councilperson Mutchler's motion. Councilperson Watson?
I guess I just have a point of order. The original motion was to approve all of these. And then we had an amendment to change a resolution, which doesn't actually relate to the original motion necessarily. I mean, if you want...
it does. My impression of our original resolution in 2012 was that we can't go ahead and fund these nonprofits, which we'd like to do, because the resolution...
I understand that completely. I'm just meaning by Robert's Rules of Order, it's not germane.
Well, it is germane, because we're trying to pass a budget that includes these resolutions, and trying to get us through that. So it is germane to it.
More germane would be to...
Frankly, I don't think it makes any difference where you place it.
Because right now we're going item by item.
Well, it is a motion and a second. So if you desire to have a... I guess you'd have to hope that the motion is defeated. It's on the floor now.
Mm-hmm. This gets us through the budget if we pass it. Otherwise, I think you have a longer discussion.
Okay.
So I would speak in favor of it.
Everyone's giving me some of that look like, okay.
So we are just... So the motion is just to suspend this resolution so that we will talk about the nonprofits.
So the nonprofits will be included in the main motion.
So they would be included.
So they would be funded without having to apply or without individually.
You still may have to deal with it again next year because Councilperson Hansen's amendment.
But you and I won't.
Well, true, but some other more important people will. Okay, so any discussion on the amendment? Okay, voting yes on the amendment moves it into the budget for this year, clarification-wise. Okay, any further questions? Councilperson Bercher, okay? You're giving me that look. Okay, so seeing no further discussion, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Okay, the motion carries 5-1. Yes, City Minister.
I just have a question. On the original motion, was the intention, as you can see on our expenditure decision card matrix here, we have on the far right an approved column, which means I think we all understand that the dollar ramifications of that particular expenditure is included in the budget sheets that we have before us. So I just wanted to be, but I should say there are three line items here that are not in the approved column. So I wanted to clarify if the intent of the motion was to take all of the ones in the approved column and make those officially approved, or was the intention to literally take everything?
No, the intention was to take everything that's in the approved column.
Even
just
on
the approved column, not the other.
Even on revenue decision cards,
no,
too?
I think it was just the expenditure.
The expenditure.
Let's clarify. Okay, so just expenditure cards. Okay.
So if this passes, everything that's currently in the budget would stay in the budget, but in particular, the restroom remodel, the shop painting, and the annual sidewalk, which are not in the approved column, would not be dealt with in this motion.
Not in this motion.
We can deal with those. Okay.
Councilperson Olson.
If we do that, we're going, and I'm perfectly fine with it, probably the chief will be, we're going to add 1.5 people to the police department, not one or, because they're both marked approved.
Right. Now, it does say or, so I'm assuming it would be a choice. I'm assuming that
they're both in there, and they're both counted as the money. So you would have to say one.
I've just got the 60 grand in the number.
Okay, so
I'm assuming he will.
So just the full-time.
Not in the budget.
Full-time benefit.
Is the only one in the budget. So that approved, I probably should have a little
list. So for clarification, restate that so the clerk can follow along.
So right now there's two lines on the decision cards that say a full-time police support person or a half-time police support person. And what I heard from our finance director is that the approximate $66,000 cost for the full-time police support person is in the budget.
Correct.
And I guess and under the concept of the original motion, it would be included, but the half-time would not.
Well, it's fine if that's what you're going to say, because
I
see what Mel's saying. However, it is marked in the approved. He's talking about all the approved things.
And I guess I'd pull back on the or in the far left.
So is that okay? We've clarified his motion.
It'll be the full time.
And he's agreeing to it.
Right. I believe so.
Okay, we've clarified the motion, and the maker of the motion has agreed to it. Okay. Okay, further questions? Councilperson Bursch?
These others that are funded, couldn't we move them to the approved list except for the sidewalk replacement?
I believe we could, if you so desire.
Right. But I just wanted to clarify that that's right. Not in...
I'll second that amendment.
Thank you.
I think no. I forgot to put an X in front.
Okay, so the clerk, are you caught up with Councilman Bursch's amendment and has been seconded?
Is it
clear?
Yeah, row 35 and row 37.
Okay, the clerk is clear on the amendment presented by Councilperson Bursch. It's been seconded by Councilperson Hansen. You can have discussion of the amendment at this time.
And the amendment is to move the restroom remodel and the shop painting into the approved category that would be covered on the original motion.
Essentially, it's all of those that are already in the budget.
Right.
Yes.
Correct.
So the only one that would not be included in the original motion, should the original motion pass, would be the annual sidewalk replacement.
And the Shell Mar moves over also.
I'm discussing this yet. Councilperson Mutchler.
Yeah, I'm just going to insert this here.
Good point, Shell Marsh.
Yes.
And I love all these things, too. So are we prepared as a council to tap the Golden Goose the way we're thinking about that being the Golden Goose? I'm struggling with it a little bit. It feels a little bit like...
Pretty pertinent, because it just doesn't work unless...
Right, I know. I realize that. And I know we started that discussion. I'm just asking council a question. Should we have that discussion first about how much are we willing to go to solid waste? It's always the easy thing to go to, and I remember thinking, we all thought 12 was like, we can never count. That's crazy. Well, now an hour, you know. I think we should have that discussion.
Well, I mean, clarification, and clerk and city administrator, help me. Yes, they could have the discussion on solid waste, but they also haven't approved that, and so they could approve or disapprove it at some time,
yeah.
And then the budget would change.
We could approve this right now. We might all do that, and then we could come back and pay for it, and then not approve it right away, and then cart before the horse.
Right, to put it slightly differently, but for clarification, by if the main motion passes, you're not passing the 2016 budget. You're just saying that from this day forward, at least till the end of the year, the budget that you consider will include these costs, as opposed to going through them line by line.
So it is, I mean, Councilperson Ingram's move was lean, and it is lean, but it doesn't necessarily say that you're funding it yet, because you haven't approved the funding of it.
Exactly.
Yet.
Good point.
You're appropriating it,
yes,
but
yes.
Not funding
it. I understand.
It's kind of intent.
We may be going, that's fine.
Okay. So any further questions on the amendment? Councilperson Olson.
This does not include this Public Works Golden Christmas List stuff, correct?
It does indeed.
It does indeed.
It does. Yeah. It's not in the approved section.
Yes, it is.
It is right above the dotted.
Right above.
I keep looking at this thing over here where the X's are.
Here's the list.
All right. This row is the breakdown. All right.
Yep.
Row 44.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. I know. Now I know what I'm going to do.
Okay. Any questions or statements you would like to have, or any other questions on the amendment? We're discussing the amendment.
The amendment is to add those.
Is to move everything except the only thing that would not be in the approved column would be the annual sidewalk replacement.
And clerk, we're up to speed.
That's the effect of.
Okay. Any further discussion on the amendment? The amendment is before you. Seeing no further discussion, all in favor of the amendment, signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed?
Aye.
Okay, so the motion carries by 4-2. Okay, with Councilperson Olson and Watson voting no. Okay, on the original motion, any further discussion on the original motion?
What's the original motion?
to now take all of these
just
that are in the approved column and move them forward when we talk about the 2016 budget, either later tonight or later in the month or December, all of these expenditures will be in the budget that we now consider.
In the discussion.
In
of
the
which
discussion.
You haven't figured out how to fund yet, as councilperson has established, but you would be moving forward, and then you have to.
This is one of the most bizarre things I've seen in 8 years.
Yes.
It is. Councilperson Mutchler was correct, and Councilperson Watson. No, it is odd how we're doing it, but we haven't done it this way before. But that doesn't mean, we can't go different directions. Councilperson Mutchler.
Needless to say, until a final approval budget, if we say, by golly, we can't go past 13.5%, and Mark says, well, you're going to have to cut something out, we can come back and cut. This is not Mount Sinai here. This moves it forward. I'm fine with it.
You are correct.
I'm fine with it.
Further discussion. Okay. So, on the regular motion, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Okay, so the motion carries 4-2 with Councilperson Olson and Watson voting no. Okay, but again, this is not the last time we will discuss this issue.
What?
What? How surprising.
I'm already spending the money.
Okay, we're moving on to the next item. What? Yeah. Yes, you do. That was easy. See, you're all prepared. Now we're moving on to the next item is the ordinance on bonding requirements. Welcome to our community development director.
Good evening, council. Good evening, Mr. Mayor. Lori Burnett, community development director. We do not have a public hearing on this. This is something that the council can approve without a hearing or deny. As part of our ongoing updates to the Ferndale Development Standards, which are the standards that we rely on, primarily for infrastructure improvements, but also for a whole variety of other regulations, somewhat separate but related to the Ferndale Municipal Code. We come to Chapter 5, which is the bonding requirements and dedication requirements. Our goal with these proposed changes is to keep it relatively non-technical. Whenever we get a private development coming in, quite often they're going to be required to put up some form of financial security. That could be a bond, an assignment of savings, some other guarantee that they are going to complete the work or that they are going to maintain the work that they've been permitted for. So right now we have a whole bunch of different chapters, each one of which determines what kind of bond. Is it 5%, is it 25%, is it 150%. That can get difficult to track. What we're proposing to do here is to put them all into one chapter where we can refer to that chapter as our bonding chapter. All of our other chapters would simply refer back to that. So what we propose is probably not especially interesting, but it is a good lean move for us moving forward. It'll make it easier for private development. We expect that the latter part of the chapter, which has to do with dedications, is likely going to be revised again within the next year when we look more closely at precisely how much land we need for this easement or that easement. But this is a good first step, we believe, and it'll get us in good position moving forward. So happy to answer any questions you might have.
Any questions? For audience clarification, because I think it's time to brag a little bit, is what because you hear the word a couple times in terms of lean, and lean is a process that we ask the employees every Friday to give us ideas on how we can do our city more efficiently. And this is another step in hundreds of steps we've done to say, what is a better way to do it? And so every week we ask, well, just because we did it this way, is there a better way to do it in the future? And so it's your and his department coming with better and more efficient ways, and that's the basis of the lean process. Okay, council, any questions or discussion? Anyone want to make a motion?
Sure.
Okay, Councilperson Watson.
Move to approve Agenda Bill 151100.
Second. Seconded by Councilperson Olson. Seeing no further discussion, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries 6-0. Okay, next up is utility connections.
So this one, hi, Yori again. This one is a proposal to modify Chapter 15.04 of the Ferndale Municipal Code. That chapter adopts essentially our building code as well as other international codes such as the International Property Maintenance Code, the uniform code for the abatement of dangerous buildings and other similar codes. Unfortunately, we sometimes have to work with citizens in our community who have either allowed their residence or their property to be degraded through the results of addiction, through poverty, through illness, or simply negligence, where the structures are no longer capable of being used as a residence primarily, but sometimes can no longer be used as a commercial facility either. And while the codes that I referenced earlier do address these issues, where if you don't have sanitation, if you don't have in a house, if you don't have a proper cooking facility, if you don't have a proper place to live, and if it is contaminated, the codes that we've adopted get you to the point of the city being able to take the step of preventing someone from occupying their structure, but they don't do it as rapidly or as cleanly as we believe we need. And it doesn't come often. In my 8 years here, we've had to do this twice, most recently a property on Poplar Drive, where if the city needs to take action, often with the cooperation of the health department and with all the city departments working together, we need code sections that are explicit in what we can do if it comes to that, so we don't go around chasing our tail trying to demonstrate what is clearly to any measurement an unsafe condition. So this proposal would accomplish that. It would not necessarily change what's already written, but it would put it in one section. And it does provide us also some guidance for staff and future staff that our intent is to seek to keep the people in the residence if that's possible. If it's simply a matter of them needing to pay a bill, if it's a matter of them not having the assistance of the support system within the community, that we seek to put them in contact. But if it is a point where one more minute of continued occupancy is a risk to them, that we would be able to take action quickly to protect them ultimately and their neighbors. So happy to answer any questions you might have.
Okay, so I have Councilperson Olson first hand up, and then we'll go to Councilperson Watson.
This was, you said you used it twice in 2 years, or eight years, I believe you said,
yes.
Twice. This isn't about little old ladies who can't pay a water bill. This is about drug-infested, methamphetamine-laden houses that the other neighbors have to tolerate. So I don't want anybody to think that we're using this to kick out people who can't pay their bills. This was all brought about because of the meth house, plain and simple. So with that being said, I make a motion to move Agenda Bill 15-11-006 forward.
Letter.
Okay, been moved and second, but further discussion, so we'll go down the line. So we have Councilperson Watson first, then Ingram, and then Birch.
I'm trying to understand. So we're just saying you can't live there. But we're not saying you have to fix it, tear it down, do anything with it. We're just saying you can't live there. So what does that do for the neighborhood? Because now you're going to board it up and there it is.
Correct. We have other nuisance regulations, and there are other regulations within these variety of codes that say you do need to continue to maintain it in a good condition. Oftentimes these folks don't have the resources or the desire to do it themselves. Unfortunately, I think it is going to turn into a case-by-case basis as far as how they're resolved. And the two cases that I refer to, an initial one was a property owner had abandoned her house due to a variety of different reasons. Ultimately, a family member acquired the house from her, tore it down, and that's how it got remediated. With this one, it's yet to be determined how this house is going to be brought back up or if it can.
You're not condemning it, though. You're just saying no one can
do it. We are, within the context of the International Property Maintenance Code, mm-hmm. We do condemn it, which does not mean that we condemn it in terms of the city is now going to demolish it.
It's
or
not
that,
like a little hotel where we...
Within the condemnation wording of the International Property Maintenance Code, it does allow for that structure to remain standing and to be remediated. So it's a little bit different from the common understanding of condemnation, which is this is going to be gone.
And before we move on, we discussed this committee, but for the record, this is an example of plagiarism. We're borrowing these regulations from other jurisdictions.
We are. The city of Bellingham recently went through this with the Aloha Motel. They worked with the Whatcom County Health Department, and the Whatcom County Health Department said Bellingham, after a lot of trial and error, figured out the way to make this protect the property owners as well as allow the agencies to do what they sometimes need to do.
But they had to spend $1 million.
In the Aloha Motel, and as the city determined they were going to acquire the property, that was it.
And that's my only concern is if we approve this, are we pushing ourselves to a place where we'll have to buy meth out?
I don't believe so. I think that this is ceasing people from living in houses that would tend to harm them. It doesn't address how to fix them up, which is in many ways a different issue. Even if we didn't have this, there's still going to be how do we get them to fix it up. It's a related component to it, but it is a somewhat different conversation. It's what happens later.
City Administrator, would you like to comment?
I was going to say that there's probably a variety of avenues or options after a home is determined to be uninhabitable. It could be that just by neglect of paying the property taxes, the county eventually forecloses on it. It could be a health department. It could even be Homeland Security. I mean, who knows what the variety of methods could be as far as the ultimate resolution, that is the destruction or the remediation. But this at least allows us to say to someone, you can't live there. For your own safety, you can't stay there. And we need to involve, and we have involved, and we will involve the health department as well as the police department and others in this. But right now, even though it makes common sense, if someone doesn't have electricity, it doesn't have water, it doesn't have sewer, chances are you shouldn't be living there. Well, when people say, prove it, to show me in the code. Well, after tonight, if you do approve this, we can say, here it is.
And we have had that situation.
Yeah.
Councilperson Ingram is next.
Well, I'm concerned. Not for the reasons you might think. The ordinance on the agenda reads utility connections required for occupation, but I don't see any reference to utility connections in the body of the. It just says other things if it's not up to health standard, blah, 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 blah.
Is there a definition of utility?
Well, yeah, or a listing of utilities. Give me my point real quick. You'll see where I'm going here. In all likelihood, the next major expenditure that we make on our houses is going to be a Tesla wall, and we will not have an electrical connection to the network. Mm-hmm. So once I disconnect the network from my house, are you going to tell me I can't live there because I don't have an electrical connection?
No, I think what we try to do,
because that's the coming thing.
Yeah, we
this is the future now.
Under B, and this is on page 46, what we talk about, and it does talk about lack of electricity. You would not lack electricity. You wouldn't have a connection to the grid, but you would not lack electricity.
Okay.
And it's the lack of potable water. You could bring in bottled water as long as you have it. I mean, or sanitation. You could have, composting toilets or some other way to prove that you have the ability for those basic life safety.
I just wanted to make sure we weren't going to go down a path here that's going to conflict with the future of a lot of people's home power system in the next 20 years.
Excellent point. Yeah, thank you for bringing it up. Yeah. Okay, Councilperson Bursch.
So how was the methamphetamine house brought to your attention?
Neighbors. Over several years, neighbors complained about that house because for civil issues, we can respond to issues that we can observe. We could not observe necessarily the drug use. That becomes a criminal matter. We did see that there were nuisance conditions on the outside, you know, debris and stuff piled up, but we had not seen the inside. It wasn't until a warrant was served by the police department and and there were illicit drugs found that then started that moving. And honestly, prior to that, the city had raised the issue with another a number of other agencies, but they also were limited in terms of being able to go in there. So it wasn't until there was the proof, you know, that there were these activities going on that the health department was then able to take the swab of it, and it came back in that case 65 times as high as the tolerances.
Okay, so how are you going to find future houses for condemnation reasons that aren't doing drugs? Are you circling?
No, no.
And what agencies are you resourcing to find out? The city's not going to walk up to a door and say,
no.
I don't think you have
no,
utilities.
If it becomes known and how it can become known, in some cases, the elderly lady that put herself, unfortunately, in that situation, we heard through the kind of social, you know, network that this lady was missing. And then through that, we were able to determine where she was at, because at first we thought that it might need to be a welfare check where is this individual in her home, which might be decaying around her. Turns out that she wasn't. She'd said, I can't live there anymore, and she was right, she couldn't. But so we're not expecting that we're going to be going out searching for these, but I guess, you know, in theory, if a tree falls on someone's house, and if that tree has been up there for weeks at a time, there was an instance over on 2nd Avenue, north of the railway, or north of, the railroad, where there had been a tree that had fallen on a dwelling unit, the shed behind it. We knew that that house was already gutted and that the person was in California. It had been returned back to the bank. But if there had been someone living there, we would most likely have knocked on their door and said, gosh, you know, you need to get this tree off and fix it. There was an RV last week that was parked on the Riverside Golf Course. Obviously, no one wants to live in a floodplain at this time of year unless they didn't really have any other choice. They'd created their own septic, basically digging a hole in the golf course. You know, a really horrible situation. The police were able to work with the property owner to deal with it. But those are the kind of situations where, you know, God forbid it ever happens to one of us, but when we become aware of it, through whatever means, those are three completely different ways that we'd be able to act. And this requires that we act compassionately, too.
Okay, I have a motion and a second before you. Any further discussion? Okay, seeing none. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries 6-0.
Thank you, Council.
Okay, moving on. This was the part of the agenda we had, the ordinance for the solid waste tax increase. We discussed that earlier. Do we want to discuss it more? We had talked about moving it for further discussion, but you have time in the agenda. It is your agenda, Council, so you can discuss this if you'd like. Councilperson Hansen.
Well, just a couple of real quick comments. I support Council Member Olson's. Excuse me. Desire to move this to some future agenda. One of the things I think we should consider before we raise the rate is the fact that effectively the amount of money that the rate increase is going to generate for the first year, if you were to go 0.5%, is happening just from inflation. There's been, Mark, correct me if I'm wrong, a roughly $50,000, we're about $50,000 ahead of budget. Is that correct?
Well ahead of, more than 50 grand.
Okay.
Like 130 grand.
0.5% raises around 50,000. I support Councilmember Olson's proposal to move it forward. We can take a look at this. You will take a look at this, or someone else other than Gary and I will look at this. 6 months from now, you're going to hear that again, incidentally. And see if the trend continues. If the trend continues with the solid waste tax to be over and above what we think is basically 100,000 per percent, then it may not be necessary to actually raise the rate, except that it becomes a cash cow at that point, gives you extra money to spend on toys or cookies.
So I have Councilperson Watson up, and then Councilperson Ingram.
I guess a question for Mark then. So everything that council just approved on this decision list, we don't have to raise solid waste at all to do all those things.
My proposal in terms of rate phasing is the first page with the green rate cell, and that is no change for 2016, but a change in 2017. But I would say that as your finance director, I would not support on the expenditure decision card adding employees if we don't have secured funding. So I would want to withdraw those expenditures for added employees unless we get an ordinance on solid waste, which you can change later.
And that is my concern as well, is that we can pay for the other things and we can even pay for the employees, but in 2017, we'll have to do something.
Well,
so basically
hiring
people
off
with only money for 1 year.
Right. We don't want to hire.
So why would we not want? I'm sorry.
You're still your four. Was that it? Or? Okay, Councilor Ingram, your four.
Well, why would we not want to fund those employees into the future by passing that rate increase now? Because it's not going to go into effect in 2016, but it guarantees that we've got the money to pay for those employees in 17, 18, and on. So I don't see why we would not want to do that now. We've got the opportunity. Why wait 6 months or 8 months to do it?
Yeah, you can live off the cash in 16 because the revenue's been pretty favorable. And another data point today, it remains favorable. It's always that. But I don't know what the next 2 months will be. Really don't want to project and continue to very high growth in that.
Councilperson Bursch, you had your hand up? No, there was someone over there.
I don't want to. Left one. What page? I'm trying to find the page with you. You have the two big numbers, and we have our little tiny number. Can we just look at that for a second, Mark?
Left one is the page right before the big page with the green cell. So it's a little page, fund number 004, police retiree fund. That's our three retired police officers where the city is obligated to pay all medical, all home health care, all assisted living, all certified nursing facility, and limited dental and medical insurance for life.
So this is one of those unknowns.
Yes.
And we currently have $300,000 in there, I guess. And the state says we should have 1.3. And Mark, you're a little more conservative. You'd sleep better every night if we had $6 million in the bank.
Right.
So if something happens and those costs go up, don't think they're going to go down.
Correct. We would most likely, one of the three would start incurring much higher costs than they're incurring now. It would get our attention, certainly, and
I can see the golden goose.
Deal with it. And apparently the funding comes only from solid waste tax.
Councilperson Hanson.
And if you take all of the increases that are being proposed at this point in time, there will be no money extra money available in case one of those left one people has a substantial all at once. So then where are you going to get the money? The other thing, and I still have the floor, 12 years ago, 13 or 14 years ago, when we passed the 1% solid waste tax, we also passed a resolution that it would be only for special items, non-personnel. We've never rejected that. We've never undone that resolution, incidentally.
Good point.
We have done it in that we hired a planning director. By resolution, we changed it to hire a planning director. Each time we do it, though, without and add more personnel, we violate that resolution that was passed 13 or 14 years ago.
You are correct. Councilperson Ingram?
I would like to move that we take the solid waste tax back to the Finance Committee for further discussion.
Second.
Okay, been moved and seconded. Any discussion on this? Councilperson Watson?
We only have so much time. Are you thinking about taking it back and then bringing it back in early 2016?
Bring it back to the next meeting.
Okay, Councilor Smutler.
This is a question for staff, germane to the customer. I remember Grandview has a 30%. That's the subject. Can we get a check with EWC? What are cities doing with the solid waste? I'm just curious.
We could before committee. City Administrator?
A couple of points.
Remember, you won't be here for committee, so it won't matter.
That's right. I have had a discussion about the solid waste tax with our new public works director, who, as you're aware, spent nearly the past 20 years down in Skagit County and knows all the garbage folks up here extremely well. So his guidance on this and his opinion on this, I won't relate it tonight, but I think it would be important to hear. The second thing is related to, and this goes back to the left one, one of the things that we've been discussing is, should the solid waste tax continue this trend, and we still do have a couple more months, so that's why it may be a little premature, I would like to consider, since it's not included in the budget, maybe as early as January of next year, to actually take some of that extra revenues from solid waste and specifically put it into the LEFT fund or into one of our other reserve funds. I think to the extent that Mark is usually extremely good about projecting these revenues, but no one has a crystal ball as far as the economy. We appear to be having revenues much stronger, so as to not keep them on the table to perhaps be spent in other ways. I'd like to maybe again early 2016 discuss the likelihood and the wisdom of replenishing some of our reserve funds that, as you all are aware, we used when it started raining. So these rainy day funds do need to be replenished, and maybe this is an opportunity where as soon as January we might be able to talk about how we go about doing that. Just as an aside.
Okay, have a motion and a second to move this to committee. Seeing no further discussion, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion carries 6-0. Back to committee. So the clerk has noted that. Mark, you might as well stay up there because the next one is the ordinance revising the water, sewer, storm rates.
I went to a training conference here a few weeks ago, and part of that deal was the auditors and the company speak for a couple hours. An area they're emphasizing with cities is that when a city has their own utility, like a water, sewer, storm, drainage, electricity, like Blaine has electricity, garbage, other utilities the city runs, it's important that all the revenues that come in from customers be included in the utility accounts. Even if you happen to have a row on that invoice that says utility tax, even that utility tax must be manipulated into showing the gross water dollars collected, the gross sewer dollars, and the gross storm drainage. We already do that with spreadsheets to comply with the Department of Revenue paying all tax on utilities. We get to pay 5% utility tax to the Department of Revenue on all of our water utilities. Oh, including the utility tax that relates to the water. So, proposal here tonight is to get in compliance with the initiative of the auditors to simply show on the water bills water, sewer, storm, and then a grand total. No longer would it show a line that says utility tax. Now, the total of the bill will be the same, to the penny, the old way versus the new way. And we have an example. It's on the website yet.
But it's in the packet.
Very good. So Patty worked that up. So that's exactly for the typical customer in Ferndale, residential, that uses 12 units of water every 2 months.
Customers also?
That's the bill that's going to look.
I realize that what you're trying to do is comply with the never-ending mandates of the state.
Never-changing mandates, yes, thank you.
However, I'm curious if now the 9% tax is included in the rate, correct? So the out-of-city customers are paying 50% on top of that. So that means they would, in effect, be paying 13.5% utility tax.
They're paying 9% on the 150%. So instead of $100 a month, they pay 9% on $150 a month.
Currently.
I don't. 150% is just on the water.
Well, the package happens to be an in-city customer that uses 12 units of water. But we could have also had another example of outside city water customer using 12 units. The total bill would have been the same before and after.
I still don't understand how we can get 9% on a unit, and then outside the city is going to pay 50% additional of the new one that's got the 9% in it. So to me, that says they're also paying 4.5% on top of the extra 50% that they've got in there. It's going to have 4.5% in there because the taxes are built into it, correct? Or am I misunderstanding?
The current rates all being increased by 9%. Even the outside city rates are being increased by 9%.
Yeah, maybe, I don't know if this will help. Instead of paying 150% and of that total paying 9% utility tax, the 9% is already included, and it just grosses up to the same dollar amount.
I was fairly good at math through school, but I don't see how that could be.
Well,
we're not changing the utility, so you're just not putting the line there anymore.
Exactly.
Correct. We could bring more examples, perhaps.
That or what we might be able to do, should you feel comfortable passing this tonight, we'll go ahead and run the out-of-city examples to be sure that it is exactly as presented. I'm just to verify the math. I mean, should those examples not yield the same exact result, we will bring it immediately back to this body.
They're paying 150% water charge, but they're not paying 150% tax. They're paying the same tax as the city.
Right.
I don't think
same tax rate.
We'll let them come up.
Yeah, we'll
I just
same tax rate.
Okay, so Councilperson Watson?
Just real quick, for it says total current charges, is there a place to put in parentheses includes 9% utility tax?
On the back of the bill, I don't have that with you in your packet tonight. On the back of each invoice, it has a statement in there that says, I think already it says includes the effect of state taxes. It will modify that.
And also included in your packet is the press release and some of the communications we'll put out explaining this.
I just mean, a year from now, when people get their bills, I just want them to know that what the utility rate is. Because if we change the utility rate, I don't want people to think we're trying to hide it. I just want them to see what it is each time.
Yeah. The intent is to put a statement on the back of each invoice that it does say it includes state and city parental utility tax.
Okay, so it'll include all of them.
The intent is not to put the rate because the state utility tax on water is 5%, the state utility tax on sewer is 3.8%, the state utility tax on storm is 2%. Don't want to quote all those rates.
Okay.
They're on our fee schedule. Not the state ones, but the city.
So just have a blanket statement. It contains local state.
Right, in the back of each bill. There's already something there now. We'll add to it.
Okay.
And again, this changes because the state asked us to do it. Councilperson Olson?
Did the income from the utility tax go into the general fund prior?
Yes.
So now we're taking a hit in that.
No. The
way it used to work is when you sent in your bill. And so you have, let's say you paid $100 and you paid your utility tax. When that money came to the city, when we actually coded the revenue, we coded and credited your utility payment to the water, sewer, storm, and then we directly took your utility tax and deposited it into the general fund.
Right.
What we're going to do now is those both of those revenues are going to go into the utility fund, and then the utility fund is going to write a check to the general fund for the 9%. This is purely an accounting full employment act concept.
Sounds like they've already had a drink.
Yeah.
It really, in some ways, it's form over substance, but if you really are into accounting, it's exciting.
Which I'm not.
Only an accountant could say that was exciting.
You're going to take a hit.
Right, no, that's it. This is just, instead of it going like this, it's going to be going together, and then the payment's going to go.
Okay, moving on. Councilperson Wetzler.
Yeah, and Mark, you. So you mentioned the various percentage rates of the various utilities. I can't talk about any of this.
Okay, can we finish the math lesson later or something? Or okay, we're there. Okay, Councilor Smutsley, you have the.
You mentioned 2% for a storm and this for that. So it's really, you really can't put it on the bill because everybody's bill's different. Everybody uses water. But there is one place on our website where a person really wanted to know what all the taxes are on a utility. They could find that.
They can certainly find the city's utility tax rate.
I think.
So, again, the area of our website that deals with water billing and utility is the most read part of our website. So it would be relatively easy to include that information.
So if on the bill, there could just be that link. If you want to know where all the taxes are, this is where
There is, actually. If you want more information, check out cityofferndale.org.
And then in terms of revenues for the city, we have a central services fund. We bill each utility based on what we think. And it changes. Depends, you know, just
every
depends.
Year. Every year. Require us to do an actual true-up cost.
To the penny. Yeah. And it seems like it's around 3 to 4%, or kind of in that ballpark.
I have to take a look.
And then we do the 9. So this is general fund revenue. It's good for us.
Councilperson Watson.
I'd like to move to accept Agenda Bill 15-11-006.
I'll second.
Okay, moving seconded by Councilperson Hansen. Any further discussion? Seeing none. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries 6-0. Okay, next we're give Mark a chance to sit down and rest up. Now we're on to what would be item G2. The Community Center Advisory Board, now called CCAB, and you have before you two people, Linda Harkleroad, you have a resume for, and Anna Kalish Milton, Anya Kalish Milton from the Boys and Girls Club. So, you asked to pull this off, so the floor is yours, Councilperson Hansen.
My concern is simply this. We have a 5-member committee. One of the members must be from either Heritage or Old Settlers, and one of those members must be from the Chamber of Commerce. We have two candidates here, one of which is an officer of the Heritage Society, another of which is a board member of the Chamber. I have no problem with either one of these individuals. I have a problem with the cart before the horse. The two automatic appointments, which is a chamber person and a combination of Old Settlers Heritage, have not been appointed yet. Both of these people could be eligible for those positions, but have not been recommended by their respective organizations for those positions. If these two are appointed and the two automatics are appointed, there's one position left. Yet you have two. You will have two Heritage Old Settlers people and two Chamber people officially.
You could.
Mm-hmm. My concern is just to allow the automatics to be appointed before we appoint these, and then we will go into it with the conscience of knowing that we're going to have. All it would take is one more Chamber of Commerce member or one more Heritage Old Settlers member, and now you have a plurality on that committee, and you have left very little additional voices to be heard that are non-chamber, non-heritage / old settlers. I'm going to move this, and if I get a second, then we can go forward with it. I'm going to move to table this to a time certain, which would be until after the automatic appointments have been appointed.
Okay. Okay. We don't know if these two would want to be the automatics anyway, or?
The chamber has indicated that Ann Klein will be taking the seat for that.
Yeah, I'm at. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. I see. So
Anya would be at large.
Yes.
Anya would be at large. So would Linda if she's not the appointment by the Heritage Society.
Okay.
And then the decision at that point is, are we overloading the committee for in one? And I'm not trying to create a situation where I'm trying to suggest that you should or should not. I'm creating a situation where we'll go into it knowing full well who the two automatics are.
Sure.
If the automatic comes from the old settlers, so be it. Then you would have an old settlers member, a heritage member, a couple of chambers members, and hopefully somebody from the outside. But that's yet to be determined. I just think that this is a little premature.
Okay. So I have a motion, a second. Any further discussion? Councilperson Bursch?
I think that Anya is here on behalf of the Boys and Girls Club as an organization and not the council.
Oh, I understand that, but she listed on her application that she was a member of the chamber board,
right.
And as such, she's eligible to be the chamber's automatic.
Right.
I believe she did specify. Yeah, she did specify position one on her application.
That what?
That's what she was applying for.
There is no representative from the Boys and Girls Club.
No, I thought there was
right. Position one is
at large.
A member
of a specific nonprofit. It's one of the nonprofit representatives. So not the old settlers one,
and
not the chamber, not the two at large, the nonprofit.
Oh, okay.
But still, she's a chamber board member.
Right.
Yeah. We could still end up.
Which we've always known that we could have duels.
I'm not suggesting that these people not be appointed. I'm suggesting that you wait until you know who the automatics are for those two.
Okay, so the motion, the second, is to wait on these two. Tell them they're still in the queue, but we're waiting to see what else happens.
To see which position.
Yeah. So you have, you're up to speed.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the motion before you. We're not saying no. We're just putting these two in a holding pattern. Okay. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 6-0. Okay, next up is discussion on the personnel policy. And who's handling that? Hello? We have the personnel policy before us on the agenda.
Yes, sorry about that. In your packet is City Personnel Policy number 303 for severance pay. By way of background, this policy, I should put it this way. We have a set of personnel policies that kind of underlie and form a framework for the rules and regulations relating to our employees. On top of those, or superseding those, are our union agreements and our particular and unique employment agreements with non-union members. So be it severance or be it sick leave or anything you want to think of, if there is something that is explicit in a union contract or something that is explicit in a non-union employment contract, it supersedes and takes the place of our personnel policies. Only when either the union contracts or the employment contracts are silent or lack some sort of definitive policy, do you look back on the personnel policy. So we have personnel policies. We have dozens and dozens and dozens of them that address many issues that are not addressed in our union contracts or our non-union employment contracts. So that's kind of the background. In this particular case, policy 303 is something that applies to non-represented employees. So first of all, it does not apply to any of the unions, because the unions have, not only do they spell this out in their contracts, but this policy explicitly does not apply to them. So it applies to non-represented employees who are separated from employment under certain conditions. So under this policy, right now, if a non-union employee is asked to leave by the mayor, because that's the mayor's purview, if they have worked for the city for a year or less, they get no severance. And then you can see on page 69, depending on how many years they've worked for the city, 2 to 5 years, they get a month's salary, 6 to 10 years, 2 months, 11 to 15 years, 3 months, and over 16 years, it's 3.5 months. So should a non-union employee who does not have a union, does not have an employment contract that addresses severance, should they be asked to leave the city, this policy would kick into place, and they would get as little as nothing or as much as 3.5 months of salary as severance. So that's the kind of the how this policy sits in amongst the city and our union contracts and our employment contracts.
Councilperson Olson, and then Councilperson Bursch after that.
That kind of sounded like a long way to go around the barn to say anybody who's in the union, this will not apply.
Right.
Anybody who has a contract with that we have all agreed to, this does not apply.
True.
This is only for people appointed by a mayor and not given a contract. This would take away their severance. He would still be able to hire if somebody replaced them, or at some point we've decided to unfund that position, they would not be entitled to severance.
Yes,
correct?
Yes.
That is correct. Okay. Councilperson Bursch, and then Councilperson Mutchler.
Well, how long would an employee work for the city without a contract?
The future is unknown. I guess, historically, I can't really speak to any time before I worked here. I know I worked the first year without a contract. And I'm not aware of anyone since then who's non-union employee who's worked without a contract, except for currently, Riley currently has an employment agreement, but not a contract. So, in the future, who knows? Historically, I myself fit in that category for a short period of time, but currently, today, Riley's the one and the only one that this would apply to.
And I made this clear at committee. Make it clear again, this is not about
Brian. Oh, yeah, no.
I'm not worried at all, because I'm never leaving this job.
Hold that thought. Councilperson Mutchler?
Is this some kind of border play, or is this unique to Ferndale to have a policy like this?
Interesting you brought that up, because that question came up at committee. Again, a short, hopefully not too far around the barn trip. Down memory lane here. When we actually revised back in, I forget the date on this, but anyway, it was a number of years ago. When we actually adopted or revised our personnel policies, we utilized a consultant who gave us this kind of this boilerplate. We went in and tweaked it a little bit. Subsequent to the committee meeting, we checked around, and many, and Riley could probably speak to the exact number of it, many other cities in either Whatcom or Skagit County use the same labor law consultant and have, almost to the word, this exact policy, and I assume others.
Literally identical.
So it was kind of a set of boilerplate policies, this amongst them, that many cities have adopted.
Yeah, so this isn't particularly unique or generous or stingy or anything like that.
Apparently it is almost duplicative of what meant of other cities.
I thought about this over the week. We had a long discussion about severance as it relates to non-represented staff that has contracts. And I don't remember what it did. I think it was between 6 and 9 months worth of severance should a new mayor come in and dismiss. And the rationale behind that was a political rationale. It was that staff shouldn't necessarily overly suffer because of political changes and stuff like that. And I kind of see this the same way. It doesn't seem very excessive. A person could work up to 5 years here and then only get 1 month of severance. Once they get to five, then they go up 4 years. And You know, you don't know what a mayor is going to do. It seems like this is very minimal protection for any employee. So I certainly would want to remove this.
Councilperson Watson, and then Olson.
Well, I mean, ideally, you don't hire people without contracts.
Ideally.
So if this is silent, if we do not have a policy, is there any state law that would say we would owe someone severance if you hire?
Okay. No.
So we don't need this if our policy is we hire people with contracts. I mean, this really does become redundant because when we have contracts, we give people severance.
Yes. Yeah. That would if there was a severance provision in those contracts, yes. Which is standard, at least our current practice is standard.
Councilperson Olson.
She pretty well hit on what I wanted to say. That
okay.
Was
okay, and this is a discussion, requires no council action.
Well, if the council wants to take this out of our personnel policy, then they would need an affirmative vote to do so. And if they don't, then it'll stay as one of our policies.
Okay. Councilperson Olson.
I will move for approval, Agenda Bill 1511-007.
I'll second.
Okay, seconded by Councilperson Hansen. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. There was okay. Five to one is the passing motion with Councilperson Mutchler voting no. Okay, so we're going to move to mayor reports. Sometimes I do positive things. Tonight's an extremely sad and serious thing. I've been worried about this for months. I was told about this a long time ago, how close Alcoa was to a situation. Yes, they got a new labor contract. Yes, they got a steady electrical. But they have told me several times that the world aluminum market is in peril. At one time, the United States produced 100% of the aluminum in the world. Now we're down to where China is 63% of the market. They always worried China has basically built 12 aluminum smelters in the last 6 years. 12, all completely fired by coal, and they always knew that China had a stockpile of aluminum, and the world market kind of shows you where we are. They were worried that if China decided to, they could basically overturn the commodity price for aluminum. It appears that's happened, so Alcoa has announced the closure of the Ferndale plant and another plant. They'll keep the cast house open, but that's a minimal employee. They're FTE count is at 535 right now, and they expect probably over 500 will be getting a notice as soon as tomorrow. Councilperson Watson?
Is this going to affect the fire district? Because they're part of the...
Yes, it will.
Well
they still have to pay for the property.
They'll still have to pay for the property, but what if they...
If they've mothballed it, it won't
be
worth it.
It'll
affect the assessed valuation for the fire district and, for that matter, for the county.
Now, again, though, I appreciate the fact that Alcoa called us early in the process before they talked to media. In the past, they basically kept the plant at low operations. They shut down the pot lines, but they kept basic operations. But that, some of us, Mel and I remember, they employed a lot of their employees in terms of public works, charity things. They have not announced any of that yet. And I got the impression they were not, that this was a different one. This one should concern us. Unless the market turns around, and they don't, the experts predict that for quite some time, this is probably a closure that could be permanent.
They give a lot of money to nonprofits. Community Garden, Alcoa keeps Community Garden.
Our Community Garden, Nooksack, Salmon, and Hanson. We've all attended where they, and Talco has been unbelievably good to our community. And this one, as I told the reporter, this one bothered me immensely and personally. I mean, I have so many friends and relatives. This one really, really bothers me. So, not great news. Riley has some good news.
Silver lining. Our WorkSource Center is
assembling a rapid response team. They're going to be doing events at the Alcoa facility with the laborers, walking them through the resources that are going to be available to them. We've been in contact. The city is working to help coordinate and help with that effort so that they have access to the retraining and unemployment and all those resources that are there in the event of something like this. So
not great news. Obviously, we can be sympathetic, and we'll wait to see how they affect. Last time, it affected Ferndale greatly. A lot of, you know, restaurants were affected, lots of business were affected, and we'll see how it works. Next, on elections, I always have this statement going into elections. It's my one that all politicians should listen to. At the end of election, if you're victorious, remember that you'll represent the people that voted for you and the people that did not vote for you. You'll still represent them all. So good luck to all. So next up, council reports. Any council reports?
Too late. Papers are going.
Okay. So no other council reports? Okay, we'll go to staff reports.
Well, there's a state marching band championship going on Saturday night. So if you can't go to the shrimp feed, you can come down to Auburn and watch
for. And this will be going for the how many? What is the count for state championship?
Well, they're 8 out of 9 right now, so it should be the 9th out of 10. And if you've seen that show, if he gets it cleaned up this week, or anybody can touch it. It's just that. It's that ball.
The volcano is a work of. It's just great. The volcano is fantastic.
Well, there's a certain city clerk.
Oh, and there's a certain court that has a drum major on the podium as well.
I've watched him in action, and he is his mother's son. Oh. Okay, going to department reports. Finance director.
Today we lost our accounts payable person going out on medical leave for three months. So we're kind of scrambling to keep up with the paying bills and doing payroll and doing utility bills and all that stuff. So hopefully we won't be delayed. Thank you.
Yeah, if you hear that, I mean, downstairs, City Hall is in disarray. That's tough. We were thin before. You guys adequately approved adding to that position, but you know, now even we're hiring one and we need someone to replace her for the long period. She's out till end of January.
Correct.
Yeah, so.
And upstairs we're down a person also still?
Yes. Yes, so we're in stress at City Hall. And then our city minister is leaving. I don't know, maybe it'll work better that way.
Okay. Yeah.
Hold that thought. City administrator.
Nothing right now.
And you'll be out for 2 weeks?
2 weeks. I'll be back. You know how I hate to not be at a council meeting, and I fear for what happens when I'm not. I'll be back on the 16th for our council meeting. That's right. So I'll be rested and relaxed and raring to go. So
ready for a robust budget discussion.
Exactly.
Community Development Director.
Passing around this downtown design manual. This has been something that we've been working on off more than on for about 8 years now, and so this is a visual representation of the standards that council has adopted for downtown, kind of a coffee table book for folks coming in to get an idea of what we would like to see in downtown.
Okay, and who's going to discuss our upcoming event that we want to tell the world about?
Fab.
Okay, we'll go to Raleigh for that. So next up is city clerk.
Nothing.
Okay, community information director.
Community. Citywide community meeting. So, dun-dun-dun. Once upon a time, we as a city used to do a big welcoming celebration whenever the refineries would have a new bevy of workers coming into town. Since our community has been swelling rapidly, we're reviving that tradition. So, November 19th, Thursday, at the Pioneer Pavilion, starting at 6:30, we're going to have an open house, and then 7 o'clock, we're going to have a little presentation, which we're all going to come together and talk about the things that are going to happen in Ferndale 2016. We even have a hashtag Ferndale 2016. I can tell all of you are very excited about
this. Very clever and original.
I know.
I'm logging on Twitter as we speak.
Right. It's going to be, it is going to be a real efficient use of everybody's time, because we're going to talk about a lot of stuff that's on people's mind. The Star Park, potentially the large-scale retailer, the comprehensive plan rewrite, and all that fun stuff. It'll be an opportunity for people to meet the new mayor, whoever they are, and new council members. So
again, that date for the students who are going to put it down as a social event of the season.
Right. November 19th. Circle it in your Facebook planner.
You see, you've heard it here first.
See, they're tweeting about it right now.
See, they're excited.
The other thing I wanted to remind, as I'm sure all the politicians on this dais are aware, the election is tomorrow. We have a ballot drop box. We have a ballot drop box. Please remind everybody to use it. They got to be in there by 8 o'clock tomorrow.
We're not all politicians.
I'm sorry, public servants and statespeople.
Okay, that's it for your...
That's it. You've said enough.
Police department? Okay. So, next on the agenda, pursuant to RCW 42.30.110I, we will now enter executive session to discuss potential litigation. The session will last approximately 30 minutes. No action will be taken after the session.
Well,
so,
maybe? Well, no. Just there's a related issue with the executive session. It's not always pleasant to go through these things, but I think as most of you, in fact, all of you are aware, the executive session is going to be dealing with potential litigation, dealing with a settlement agreement whose deadline has just recently passed, and there was a concern brought up about the inclusion of Councilmember Bursch in that executive session. So we did pass an ordinance back in 2004, Ordinance 1884, that deals with potential conflicts of interest. I did bring this up to Councilmember Bursch earlier in the meeting, according to our ordinance, should the council feel that there is a conflict of interest, or should an individual, in this case it's specific, but should the individual council member feel that there's a conflict of interest, the individual can recuse themselves and not take part in an executive session. Lacking that self-reclusal, I guess if that's a word, the council has the ability to determine whether there's a conflict of interest and through a vote exclude that person from an executive session. So before we went into executive session, I wanted to bring up this topic.
Oh, because it has to be before we...
Yeah, before we adjourn.
Okay, I see. Yeah.
So that way, should Councilmember Bursch not want to feel like she should not take part in the executive session, so be it. Or conversely, should the council feel that would be the prudent way to go, there is a way for you to have that will. I just wanted to bring it up before we...
That ordinance was passed a year and a half ago, and I have been included in all the executive sessions since, including the person that you're talking about, and I see no reason to recuse myself.
Okay. Now it's up to... If you want it, it says that should it... So the city council... Oops. Gotta go away. Imagine.
Yeah, it... We have a member from the audience.
Let me just read this and we know. Okay. It says, should the city council, and this is after if the council member recused themselves, should the city council deem that a member of the council has a conflict of interest or the appearance of a conflict of interest on a specific matter and the member refuses to recuse him or herself from an executive session, a supermajority of the council, 5 of 7 council members, may vote in an open public session to exclude that council member from that specific portion of the executive session in which he or she has said conflict or appearance of said conflict. The council member who has made a motion to exclude a council member from an executive session must clearly state the reason for the conflict of interest or the appearance of conflict. Should the supermajority vote to exclude a council member from an executive session, said council member shall be excluded from all future executive sessions pertaining to such matter. And then it goes on to talk about if the member refuses, then they could be deemed to be interrupting and disruptive, and there's an RCW, and they could be removed from the meeting room. Anyway, again, not a pleasant topic, but this is what our ordinance says, and I guess, again, this is up to you. This is your meeting. It's your executive session, but I did not want to, I guess, go into executive session if any of you, or as a body, you felt that this is something that should be invoked.
Just to clarify, it would take all five of us saying yes.
Yes. It would take a supermajority, which is a vote of five.
For a clarification of that, with six members present, four is a.
I don't think that's the way.
Two-thirds.
No, you would need five.
Okay, right. So it's a majority of.
Is it protect-
the body? Yeah.
Right. Sorry. Yeah, because it specifically states a supermajority, and then in parentheses, five of seven council members. So, by definition, I think a supermajority is five, since this body, maybe not tonight, but this body contains some.
Councilperson Olson?
Another poorly written ordinance, because we should have had some sort of factor in there if somebody's not here. So, and I'm not blaming it on anybody, I'm just saying we did it to ourselves again. We don't have a whole table here, and frankly, I don't want to hear it then. If it's going to be that sort of thing and we're going to have a vote like that, then the last time we came up with that, we just didn't have the executive session and left it to you guys to make the determination.
Right, and I guess to
well, I would say that certainly may be an option on advice of council now. So right. Hold that thought.
Because what we're really going to be discussing...
Ask, what does our council say?
Yeah, because... I'd preface that by saying what I anticipate us discussing is the strategy going forward of the potential litigation. But we can certainly have our city attorney address.
We still have the request from the audience to speak.
Sure.
Right, but that's up to council to allow.
Exactly.
Speak towards what?
I think I'd rather hear from our attorney.
Topic, I guess.
Okay.
What I do.
Councilperson Ingram, did you get your statement out?
Yeah, I just wanted to hear from our attorney.
I have a question.
You're not recognized yet, so we'll hear from our attorney yet.
Dannon Traxler, city attorney, for the record. You know, I trust in your guys' judgment, and I hope that you trust in mine. I've discussed our legal strategy with your city administrator and your mayor, and if you feel comfortable with allowing us to proceed, based on the strategy that we discussed, that is what I would recommend at this point in time, because I think that our legal strategy needs to remain confidential at all costs. And I need to point out that our ordinance speaks to not just a conflict of interest, it speaks to an appearance of a conflict of interest. And nobody is questioning your ethics. I am certainly not. But I know that right now we are in a situation that could lead to potential litigation, and our strategy and executive session must remain confidential.
I will so move.
Just of the city.
Do you need
us
to make an official motion?
City Administrator?
Consensus could be that you empower administration to move forward with our city attorney on.
I would make that suggestion or a motion if need be.
Yeah, exactly. It does not have to be a formal
what
motion.
Was that motion.
If you want, then we could.
It doesn't require a formal motion. Okay, and then are we allowing audience members to speak?
That's up to you.
I see no need.
We're gonna let staff take care of it.
Okay.
No executive session.
So then we're canceling executive session at this point. Okay. Great. Okay, students, we can sign you out. Oh, yes. Excuse me.
Move to adjourn.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.